In Lourdes, in France, in 1858, the Blessed Virgin Mary appeared to a 14-year-old Bernadette Soubirous. If you go there today to the shrine, you will experience a very deep sense of God's presence, but you will also have to ignore the curse of all the incredibly crass commercial activity that goes on there. Little plastic Marys fly off the shelves by the thousands at all the little booths. There is also a daily late evening procession of six pilgrims praying the rosary for healing. At the head is carried a platform with a large statue of Mary. She's outlined by white lights, and like a Christmas display, they blink on and off. It seems so silly to me, but it also made me look at her, and it drew me to her son in a strange way that I couldn't understand. Like a blinking Mary, the readings today make us look. Blessings, blink. Curses, blink. Blessings and curses, blink, blink, blink. In the prophet Jeremiah, the curse comes before the blessing in that passage. Cursed is the one who trusts in mere mortals. That first line looks like maybe you should never trust people, perhaps recommending a kind of paranoia. I used to work with a fellow who would say, where we worked, he said, around here, paranoia is just good common sense. A very cynical view, but it was popular. But the second line clears up the meaning. Cursed is the one who trusts in mere mortals and makes mere flesh their strength. That means to look to human sources of strength, leaving God out. Right away, that might suggest a question to us. From where comes my strength? I admit that in between listening to Catholic talks, I listen also to podcasts of some motivational speakers. One of the best known for decades has been Tony Robbins. His book, titled Awaken the Giant Within, How to Take Immediate Control of Your Mental, Emotional, Physical, and Financial Destiny. It claims to show you how to become the master of your own life. But the only destiny which really matters is left out of the book title. That's the one for which God has made us. To turn away from God and to trust only in human strength can only leave us in a state of cursedness. In the end, we must trust only in ourselves if we follow that path. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, it says. That's the point, isn't it? Trust here has to mean a deep, abiding, foundational confidence. Being blessed does not mean, though, that there is no trial. It says, in the year of drought, the tree planted by a stream is not anxious. Anxiety is so high today in our culture, is it not? Everyone is trying to figure out how to be more resilient in dealing with the ordinary challenges of life, especially our young people, who we see are showing the strain in so many ways. And yet, we hear the common parenting strategy in the world. Oh, I won't force religion on my son or daughter. I'll wait for them to grow up and decide on their own. And so the young people are often left deprived of blessing that provides the strength in difficulty. That in itself is a curse. In the psalm, it's the blessed and the wicked. But of course, it is the wicked who are cursed. Blessed is the man who does not follow the advice of the wicked, the psalmist says, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord. You can trust God's law to keep you on a holy and blessed path. Paul's letter to the Corinthians talks about, it doesn't mention specifically blessings and curse, but it might as well. Those who have believed in the resurrection and then have gone away from that are the most cursed of all. He said, your faith then will be futile and you will be still in your sins. And of course, this is the core of the crisis of faith. Will we believe God? Will we believe in the resurrection? Or will we believe what we hear around us? In the Gospels, Jesus speaks from mountains, from boats, from a stormy sea, from the temple, in the country and in the city, and today from a plane. The Sermon on the Mount and the Sermon on the Plain both begin with what are called Beatitudes. Jesus envisions the conditions of this life being overturned in the next. What looks like a curse in this life is a blessing or a beatitude in the next. What looks like you are being blessed becomes a curse in the world. The rich can tend to trust in their wealth, living in a kind of poverty of spirit. But Jesus kind of warns that disaster awaits the comfortable of the world, whose prosperity and fame have turned them away from God. Should we still talk of blessings and curses today? That's language that doesn't really apply in an enlightened age, surely. You bet it does, though. Turn to God, and no matter what happens, you are secure in the knowledge of God's presence with you. Does it seem like God has abandoned you or is not present or doesn't care? I used to know someone who, whenever she was having a bad day, would say that God was smiting her, striking her down. That was another coworker. I must have worked with a lot of really cynical people. But she had no one to blame and nowhere to go to deal with her own sadness. So what happens when our hearts are broken because we've lost someone that we love, or our own health, or something else in our lives? Where do we turn when our spirits feel broken, when we are bowed down with the weight and the trials of life? Hear God say to you, I have not left you alone. I have not left you orphaned. Turn to me. I will be your strength. I will be a father to you. I will be your God, and you will be my people. You will be my son, my daughter, my beloved. I am with you always, Jesus says. I will lay down my life for you. Another one of those motivational speakers that I had to stop listening to, he said, well, we got to stop apologizing for our desire to acquire wealth. He said, look, even the Bible says, ask and you shall receive. I couldn't believe that he would take that beautiful passage about turning to Jesus, about trusting Jesus, who gave himself for me, and put flashing lights around that and said, look, even God wants you to be rich, as if that was the most important thing of all. But it's not really about being rich. It's about our attitude. It's about who we're going to trust. Jesus warns that even if we don't have a lot, we can be tempted to trust in our own possessions or our own status. Success in this life can lead to selfishness and a false sense of security, can't it? You and I still have to figure out how to be blessed and not cursed. Today we heard from Psalm number 1 that Psalm says that if your delight is in the Lord, you will be blessed. Paragraph number 1 from the Catechism says that God is the one who is infinitely blessed. You can't get any more blessed than infinite. Why would want God give us our lives if he already has everything, if he is already full of blessedness? Would it be so he can take pleasure in cursing us or smiting us, as my friend said? That first paragraph goes on. He freely created us to share in his own blessed life. For this reason, he calls us to seek him, to know him, to love him with all our strength. And to accomplish this, when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son as a Redeemer and Savior. In his Son and through him, he invites us to become heirs of his blessed life. Shortly in this Mass, we will witness the bringing up to the altar our little gift of bread and wine. But that little bit of bread and wine represents ourselves, all of us. It represents the best that we have to offer. Perhaps someone might say, well, maybe we should bring an iPhone 10 up to the altar and maybe hope that God could, Father will ask the Holy Spirit to turn into an iPhone 12. But when we look up from the congregation to the altar, we see the place where we witness the re-presentation of our Lord's sacrifice of himself for the entire human race. We make the sign of the cross on our bodies, but when you look up from the altar, you will see the sign of the cross. 1,000 years before anyone knew about crucifixion, that Roman instrument of torture and execution, the book of Deuteronomy warned that anyone hung on a tree is under God's curse. Jesus let himself be so far from the blessedness of God, which he had full right to, that he let himself be fully cursed. Another motivational speaker, starting to sound like I listen to a lot of them. I'm moving away from that. Another one says that, well, you can use your failures to make yourself great. It's not how many times you fall down, but how many times you get back up. Have you ever heard that expression? People shouted a message like that at Jesus on the cross. You saved others. Save yourself. Use your power. Come down from that cross. But Jesus was crushed by the weight of what he had to endure. Not just the physical and psychological suffering, but the entire weight of human sinfulness. He asked the Father to take away that cup, to take away that curse, but then he took it on himself. Central to our faith, Paul had to keep telling the Corinthians, is that this cursed Jesus was raised to new life. Was he resurrected because he kept repeating to himself, you can do it, you can get through this, just believe in yourself? Of course not. He was raised to life out of no life at all, not even a spark or an ember, just like at creation when something came from nothing. At the resurrection, life came from no life. Out of the absolute finality of death came death's conqueror, the ultimate blessing. That's our motivational message. That's the message around which we can place blinking lights to remind us, to speak to us, to lead us. If we trust in God above all else, no curse will hold us. Only the blessed life planned for us from the beginning. Blink, blink, blink.